Hello, innovators, and welcome back to another interesting conversation about human innovation. Today's guest is Jörg Heinemann. Jörg is driving innovation and digitalization for one of Europe's most successful e-commerce companies based in Germany. His favorite topics are IoT, smart home, and conversational commerce. He has founded a phishing mail order company in 1999 and since then loves e-commerce, marketing, innovation, and digitalization. In this episode, we talk about technology and tech innovation. He shares his experience of visiting IFA Berlin just a couple of days ago, and we talk about e-commerce innovation in corporates and the challenges of the German culture innovating. Let's get into the episode. I'm pleased to welcome to the show Jörg Heinemann. Hello, Jörg. Welcome to the show. Great to have you. Looking forward. How are you doing?
Fine. Moin, we say in north of Germany. And thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have another German on the podcast. I'm getting a couple of more Germans on now. And it's really great that you made the time after your busy week.
Yeah, it was very busy. So the week wasn't so busy, but the weekend, because at the weekend I joined the big trade show IFA in Berlin. It's hard to switch from English, because we are both are native Germans, and I think we have wrote some emails before, and then I recognized that I can't write German. That was easier for me, but great to talk to English and reach a bigger audience.
Yeah, my German speaking is okay for beers and like normal conversation, but professional conversation I try to do in English already. I'm the other way around now.
You talked to me before and it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, thank you. Let's stay a little bit in IFA. So doesn't matter. So IFA is one of the largest technology trade fairs, specifically, of course, for the European market. What are the exciting news you have discovered in IFA?
I think you have to look on different levels on it if you ask what's new, especially as a trend or a tech scout. On one side, you're looking on products, very, very cool gadget there. On the other hand, you're looking on how technology influences those products, or these products influence technology and communication. And many colleagues of me were there in their role as a buyer. So they have the discussions with our partners about what products buying, what's next. And I looking more from an innovation side. So what are the big trends? Where are the opportunities to reach our customers through these devices on a different level? Trends you see where you can have partnerships, like the whole sustainability topic. There are chances for growing partnerships, because especially if you're looking in the topic of circularity, partners has to work together to solve that problems. So From the topic side, what I see is, especially in the IoT and smart home area, I hope that the years of standardization and alliances are before us. So many islands in that field at the moment, and it's pain in the ass for customers or users to connect these islands. I think you have the sentence connecting the dots. So connecting the device, it's pain in the ass at the moment. And I know what I'm talking about. I have, I think, three folders of smart on my smartphone, three folders with different smart home apps to control my home. That's crazy. And that isn't smart. So Matter is arriving as a new standard. Every big player has announced that he will be in. I think CES in January will be the Matter show. So many announcements at the moment. First devices I have seen. Some technical guy says that wasn't matter inside, that was only the logo and Zigbee behind.
Yeah.
But you have seen that they are on the way. On the other hand, especially in the MDA business, so the major domestic appliances, you see that there is a big alliance, and that you are able with, for example, the Samsung Smart Things app, that you can control devices from Vestel or Beko or other brands from this app, and you are free to choose which app you use, and you can control all the big appliances in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that is one big area. The other big area is sustainability. So many use cases on the product side of in energy saving products, and on the other hand of circularity issues of things, of ideas how you can reuse packaging. For example, Samsung, great showcase if you are father, how you can use that packages to build toys for your child. So,
yeah.
I think that are big areas you see, and you can, especially in the IoT area, maybe you can build business models on that. Yeah, on the product side, many gadgets. So, ask me what area is interesting, and I will tell you some.
Let's talk about the technology angle. With having or being still pre or post pandemic, a lot of companies over the last 2 years have at least discussed, hey, we need to go more local, we need to produce again in Europe. Have you seen anything around that people or companies are going away from that, or was it not even a discussion point?
Maybe some discussions, but it was very international. Yes, at some booths, because we were in Germany, they are a big logo producing in Germany.
Yeah.
But, especially chips at the moment, they are still produced in China or Taiwan. So, you hear some discussions, but what you are seeing is more the circularity thing, the reuse thing, but not we are producing local now. That was not so in focus on the booths. Maybe in the discussions with the buyers, we had and have many problems to get products to Germany. I know that for the first time we use train again from China.
Yeah.
To Russia, to Germany, to get, I think the problem was especially with fridges, and they come during the pandemic with train. So very crazy stories how to fix that problems. But it was more a sustainability discussion than the supply chain issue. Maybe in the discussions of our buyers, yes.
Yeah, and any cool things coming from the wearable market?
I think IFA is more, especially this year, household appliances focus. Mm. I think more and more announcement at IFA. Yeah, you have seen some new Fitbit items, or I think Honor was there and Huawei was there. But no device everybody talked about. That were more on the kitchen side, or the home as total, less the multimedia side.
Yeah, it's quite funny with the whole kitchen thing, because I mean, living in Spain and Netherlands now, not in Germany, it's like that's not existing. Of course, you can buy all these things, but when you go into a rental apartment or house like we live in right now, you get all the appliances, and then of course you have Alexa and all these nice things, and it's like, let's connect. Ah, no, it doesn't work. So I'm really interested if there is in the future as well, like adaptation opportunities where you can use an old version, like an old fridge or something, and then kind of connect it, because that's basically when you move in, you have a not intelligence item, and then it doesn't work with the whole concept anymore.
Yeah, I think if you go to flats, inclusive kitchen, you see always the cheap products most times. I would say in intelligent. I think this is on the rental side, don't know the word in English. Vermieter? You are German.
Landlord.
The landlord. intelligent landlords maybe install expensive or long-lasting products because then they have less stress with service problems. But normally you are totally right that there are cheap items and that are not connected these days. But if you're looking in on BSH with brands like Bosch, Siemens, Neff, on the dishwasher sector, they are already producing only connected devices. So you are able to switch it on or off, of course, but they have all the wireless chipset. And I think that will be standard in future. So, but it depends on the lifetime of the product. It will take years since till all devices will be smart in the kitchen. Of course, yes. But in Germany, the market is very huge because normally flats are without kitchens, especially big flats, expensive flats, houses anyway. And so it's in the focus of the people what device to buy. Yeah. And so we have the use case here, but more on the producer side because of the problems with all that islands. And sometimes I call it featureitis, some engineers building features because they can. And not why customers asked for. And I've seen some gadgets at the IFA also that belong to that topic. Funny, but useless. And I think we have to build in the whole branch, we have to build extra value to the users through smart devices and then explaining that. Yeah. Because sometimes you have a Porsche in your garage and using a bike, so you have a connected oven and use it unconnected because you didn't get the benefit. So and there are I think there are new devices where you check the benefit. One example, I think Samsung has shown some. You have cameras inside the oven, putting, for example, a pizza in the oven, and it recognizes the pizza and starts the right program. Normally, most times, it's the same with washing machines. You have 100 programs, especially in the oven. In a washing machine, I think about 10, using three. In the oven, you always need the standard programs or the things that you find with the icons on the packaging.
Yeah.
But the oven has very perfect programs, especially for pizza, but you don't use it because of all the menus and things like that. But if you put the pizza in the oven and it recognizes it and you get a better pizza, like in the Italian restaurant or almost, I think then you say, okay, I love AI in the oven. And before, AI in the oven? Are you really kidding me? It's crazy. So you have to come from a use case and extra benefit side.
I think there's a big point in that, making it so easy to use that you don't need to think about, there, I need to change this, I need to program this. It's basically pizza in and done. That's proper smart.
It's the same with smart speakers. So smart home switching lights on and off with your smartphone. Worst case, maybe there are other cases with automation if you are on vacation and things like that, or with sensors. But as the smart speakers arrive, sometimes it's easier, especially if you have something in your head, something in your hands, to use voice. And if the voice recognition will improve and you are not forced to use special order words to start the oven, for example, then it's easier to use your voice and smart speakers. I don't call the words because I have many around me here, and then they are starting to listen. So then we are at a point where it's easier to control your kitchen with smart speakers than we are with your fingers. and it's faster, especially in the kitchen area. There is a benefit because in the kitchen, you many times, especially if you are cooking, you have wet hands or dirty hands or smelling hands, and if you have that perfect stainless steel devices, then if you dirty fingers, the kitchen doesn't look so good anymore.
I believe voice is one of the biggest topics which is still growing, and as well as is one of the biggest game changers for all the different devices. Fun story. We just moved to the Netherlands, like I mentioned before we started recording, and we are living in The Hague, which is called Den Haag. And of course, our voice assistant is still programmed in German so that we all can speak with a German. And then I was saying, hey, please play the radio show from the locals, like the Den Haag radio station. And it was always answering in German, this radio station is not available in Germany because it sounds like Den Haag. And then I switched it to English and then it worked, funnily enough.
and there are too many... There are still too many stories like that. So yeah. I want to grab a coffee before the show, and I have a connected coffee machine for sure. And normally if your glass is in the machine, you can start via voice, and it works perfectly. But I have to clean that machine, and the voice assistant said to me, you have to clean the machine. If you want to have your coffee anyway, please say okay. And I think I answered 5 times, and she asked 5 times, and then I took my smartphone to the bus and say start, and then but why? So it was a bug, and there are always bugs still. Yeah. So on the one hand, voice control for smart home devices or connected kitchen devices, it's more baseline. It's now standard. Years ago. Everybody says, "Woo!" If you have works with logo with something from Seattle or something from Mountain View, and everybody's like, "Yeah, crazy!" And now, it doesn't works with Siri or something. Okay, it's like a standard now. Yeah. But for that level, there are still too many bugs, too many misunderstandings. But look. When did it start, and where are we now? So
agree.
Look around at the evolution of from handies to smartphones, and now the smartphones we have with touch and all that was fast. But if you're looking the first years of voice, it's even faster. And next year. But look in 3 or 5 years. I think we are not talking about that. We will talk about funny stories with voice, but then they will come because an engineer wants that and not because of a bug. I hope so.
Yeah, I agree. So, a friend of mine was saying, like, hey, you're already ahead of that curve because you have so much audio content, which is basically recognizing your voice automatically because, of course, Google and everyone is learning through YouTube and all the other things. So my voice is already most probably cloned somewhere. That's what he was saying.
maybe, yeah. But I think if all that will come together, so better voice recognition, it doesn't, with matter, it doesn't matter from which company your smart home device is. With a home appliance, Alliance, home Connect Alliance or something like that, they call it. It doesn't matter which app you're using in your kitchen to control the devices. It doesn't matter from which manufacturer they are. It comes, like you said, if it's easy, they will use it. With Matter, you have an easier setup process. It's scanning in QR code, and then the product is in. That are the press news. So that are the stories they tell us. If they come for real, I don't know, but I hope so, because it's basic, but it's a missing link between a connected home and a smart home. You have to be a real nerd to have a real smart home at the moment, or a millionaire. And or a nerd millionaire, then you have the perfect then you have the perfect smart home, and you have to have a lot of time or good service providers to set up everything, and that will change. I hope so. It will change in the next years, and then maybe we are talking about complete new devices. We are talking about complete new business models. We have tried it at Ottosum before, so smart reordering, the dishwasher that reorders your tubs. We have paused that before because we have seen the user base is too low and has manufacturers have to fix the basics first, because connection and activation of the device is one. The other thing is how often you will use that connected features. So,
yeah.
And I think that will be improved in the next years, and then we see changing things in the house. And if more and more people are using that, it's then word of mouth. So like with the first smart speakers, friends of mine told me, no, I don't want to have the NSA in my house and things like that. It's typical German angst, you say it. So Germans are always afraid of innovation. So innovation management in Germany, sometimes it's harder than maybe in other countries. So same story in the private sector here. So I've told them and they say, yeah, we're going crazy. So and then they were here, we had a nice dinner. And for me, it's normal to control things with my voice. And we are not... Yeah, we didn't talk about that, but they recognized it, how it works.
Yeah.
And they have seen the benefit for us as a family that has invited guests. You have stress enough if you are preparing the dinner, and then they have seen how I use voice to fasten some steps or using connected devices. To make it more comfortable to be there for my guest and to be the chef in the kitchen. Yeah, and then 1 year ago or a half, we were there at their house at dinner, and I recognized there's something changed because my friend controlled his lights and everything with voice also, and the music, and I've seen that at your house and it was amazing, and I changed my mind, and now I have the whole house on Philips Hue, and I said, yeah, now you are better than me.
Upgraded.
Upgraded. Yeah.
So talking about commerce, I want to go deeper into innovating e-commerce. And that's, of course, what you do for life almost. But before we go into that and go into your profession, I want to go a little bit back into your personal time zone. Tell us a little bit about, like, you have done amazing things. So when I was researching, it's like, oh, that's interesting. It's like you have worked and did marketing for a bakery. You have run a sailors beach club topic where you did the marketing and the project management. You work with Sinistra, which is one of the biggest, or was at least one of the biggest cinema operators in the German market, and you built your own business. So let's go a little bit, and before we go into e-commerce, a little bit into the Sailors Beach Club. So what did you do there? How did you end up doing this project?
Yeah, maybe I if you say everything is interesting, maybe I will start to tell the story, because it's like an add-on. Yeah. So if you want to hear the story of Sailors Beach Club, I have to start earlier. So I'm 40 now. So there is a 6 and a happy birthday. That's my daughter, not me. I'm 40 now, and yes, I'm starting my business career in school already in 1999, where I have founded a small company. It was a school project there for carp fishing, baits and tackle, and was Carp Brothers Baits and Tackle. So we have a logo like the Blues Brothers. It was a carp with sunglasses and a hat. So that was based on my profession, as a carp fishing was almost my life at these days. And it was a school project for 1 year. It was successful for the project. And after that, I founded an official company for my own, because the other people, my colleagues were schoolmates, and they were interested in that project, but not to run a company after that. So I have, I have had that company for 10 years. And I think in that time, we started in 1999 with an online shop also. So we were in the whole branch. There were many established companies. I think we were one of the first with a real online shop. That was a time where companies had email forms at their websites to order. So some companies from these days are in the business these days also. Now they have great shops. But we were one of the first, and I'm a little bit proud of that. So I had that digitalization and e-commerce and online focus as I started my study. And then I come to study here in Lübeck, my hometown, and then everything was offline. The whole scripts, everything was printed on paper. If you want to see how bad your last test was, you have to go to the school building there and look on the blackboard and what's your grade. I see, that's crazy, especially if you are as a if you are study, you have long holidays. So and then the grades were published in the holidays, and sometimes you live in another area for the country. And you don't know what's your test. You have to phone your mates and can you go to the blackboard? And that's crazy. And we have founded with friends an information website to handle that. We have scanned the scripts of the lessons, or getting the PDFs from the teachers, putting that online. And then an old friend of mine came to me and said, he was a founder also, and they were in the party business. So typical, the DJing for drinking parties for young people, then growing for weddings and DJ business. And then let's start study parties. You have the crowd because of the website. We have all the technique. So let's start parties. Yeah, we did. And that was a good business for our side. So we get money to grow our website, and we do the marketing, and it works. And beside the profession of carp fishing, I come from the sailors business. So my parents they were very good sailors, and I till 15 I was sailor also, and then I moved back. I moved to fishing, so I was more interested seeing the fishes under the boats than driving the boat. But I love to drive speedboat or rubber boat with big motor, and to be a security boat driver at sailing races. And Travemünder Woche, it's one of the biggest sailing events in the world. Yeah. We have it here. It's 20 minutes from Lübeck. And I was there, a security boat driver, for years in my free time, or every summer holidays I was there. And it was more a traditional festival. It's more, I don't know, do we have in English a word for Volksfest? Kilmes? It's...
Yeah, it's not... There are different words, but not proper explanation.
Yeah, it's a very traditional party with food and drinking. But we have, I think, 500,000 visitors in these 10 days. So it was very huge, but more for old people. And we said, okay, we are at the beach sailing. Where's the beach club? And then there was with my friends of doing that parties. We have asked the organizers of the sailing event to starting a beach club during that 10 days of sailing event. A tent was already there, but it was empty at night. day it was if it rains to for the sailors and putting their stuff there. We have started there building a beach club. And it grows over years. And after B2C, we saw B2B as an option because especially sponsors of that sailing event booked their caterings, dinners for their customers because the view was great. And it was like a bar and restaurant. And on the area, more to the land, it was only the booths with bratwurst. Sausages the normal stuff you get at festivals like that. I think I did it for 3 years, and after that it was too much with after study with real job, then my carp fishing business, and I left. My friends left a few years after, but only because their normal party event and catering business has grown so much, because especially through that Sailors Beach Club thing, they have invested a lot in technique and lights and all the catering stuff, and then use that to do that B2B events outside the Travemünderwoche and for weddings, for company events, and they have grown, and they are still after pandemic, they are very good in business and very professional B2B catering company now.
That's cool. And how did you end up in the whole e-commerce? I mean, you started with online business doing, and this was kind of online and offline, I guess, with supporting it through the website. What brought you to go all in on the e-commerce business?
It was a transformation even in that small company. Started with a catalog and a website. I had a good catalog the first days, and especially from the cost side and to be actual, I decided to go online totally. In my first job, I think I was at at one time I had to decide going that startup thing, my own company, or going after finished my study to go the normal professional company way. And I decided to do both till the day I can. And as the work for my main job was too much, I decided to go that way because of earnings. And in German we say selbstständig. So if you have your own business, you always working.
There 24/7.
It's 24/7, and I had stories these days that were very transparent on that topic to me, and even on the earnings side, I said, okay, let's do the main job on the company side, but taking that learning with me. So starting as a bakery. Starting in the first job interview, telling them that are next level bakeries. So they are on the top, very great atmosphere, great food. They are on the top. But the website, I think it was from the 90s. In the first job interview, as I was asked, what's your first job if we hire you? I said, relaunch the website. It doesn't fit to your professional normal stores and things like that. And it was one of my first projects. They hired me, and there was both sides also, because I was responsible for POS marketing also. Then I went to Sinistar, and then it changed because at Sinistar it was online focus for me also. We have that that cinemas, and it's more offline business, but I was responsible for online marketing things. We have first use cases for Metaverse there these days. And then moving to TUI Cruises, it is very physical product because physical holidays, but I was there responsible for the e-commerce part. And then I think the profession for digitalization, it was always present since I told you with my study work. I left it only at Sailors Beach Club, maybe. There was no digitalization thing. We had a website, but it was more preparing food and being there. And, be there for your guests. So at TUI Cruises, I moved then from the e-commerce part. I didn't left that, but I moved then to media on board also. So we had their only newspapers for the people on board. So yeah, transferring all that information to the televisions on the cabins and stuff like that, digital signage, projects like that was very interesting, was like a startup starting there. We have no cruise ship. The cruise ship was for celebrity cruises on the sea these days. And then we have, I think, 50 million in 30 days to rebuild it to the TUI Cruises Mein Schiff. It was very interesting starting there with 50 colleagues and left after 3.5 years with 150 colleagues with two ships, and one was in the yard. The first new build was in the yard. Very interesting. And then I think I want to join maybe the transformation I had before with my own business. So in 10 years from a small mail order to an e-commerce carp fishing company at Otto. So we are very traditional mail order, big book company. And we're these days also already in a transformation to becoming one of the biggest e-commerce players in Germany, and see there the transformation as a small wheel in a very big machine to be part of that transformation and totally in the e-commerce business. And then I think at Otto, my profession for innovation wins against e-commerce. So it's both now, but I think to innovate, to build new things, to do digitalization, it was always in my heart. E-commerce was a vehicle for that, because it's a big part of transformation and innovation, of course. But the heart was always for innovating things, doing things new. It's untypical Germany, I know.
Tell me about it. No, but maybe for the listeners who have never heard about Otto, give me a little bit from my perspective, grown up in Germany. Otto was the number one, and I think it's still the number one e-commerce retailer in Germany, but didn't, like, they haven't started out as an e-commerce retailer.
Yes.
I still remember, I think it was 80s, early 90s, the big catalog.
Yeah,
and my mom always ordered the new one when they came in, a new one. And I was supposed to get new trousers. And of course, they have the measurements on the catalog. And then she was kind of measuring me if the trousers are fitting. So that's my first experience with Otto. And of course, I mean, since that 80s or 90s, the organization and the status of that organization has changed hugely.
Yeah, of course. But starting my first stories with Otto was the same. I know as a child, if the big books, and we these days we had two other big players, as the big books arrived for us as childs, it was we loved it, because you see all the toys. They have many sites full of toys and technique, and we always read that and talking about with friends what we want to have for Christmas or birthday. Yeah. And things like that, very interesting. But even in the 10 years I have joined Otto now, it was a big transformation. So moving from catalog business to e-commerce player was one big transformation. We had now another from a transformation from classical wholesale business to being a platform, scaling all the products. So in 2018, we had 1 million products online. Now we have 10 from 3,500 partners. So there is a lot of change at the moment in the company, in the whole organization, to focus that platform thing. And yeah, that is, I think, the biggest innovation for Otto. And then we have the team I belong to, who wants to innovate inside the e-commerce thing and looking about new things. And that was the question minutes ago. So what we have tried is to using the new channels we talked about, like voice, ordering via voice or giving customer service via voice. Then the digital assistants moved to television, and we moved with them. And we can imagine that there will be really good use cases in future. It's a thing of connection there also, because if it's easy to use, maybe you are talking about measuring yourself for clothes, but if you think about measuring your flat with your smartphone, with AR, seeing big catalog pictures of couches on your television, even if you're sitting on your old couch, then looking on the big screen, imagine, okay, that color, that model, that I love, that I would love, does it fit? Then send it to my smartphone, going back from the couch, going around the room, place it with AR in the flat, seeing how it looks, how does it fit, and then maybe use your voice and say, show it in red, show it in black, and then order. I think the brickets are all there, but it will take some time to combine that as a really, really good retail experience like you had. Sometimes you can have it if you have very, very good retailers in your town that doing that very good advisory, doing good service. But if you imagine a story like I told before and everything works together, you can get with e-commerce a better experience because you have that advisory, the sales interview in your living room and can see the products in your living room and then order. And that is a vision, and we are working on parts of that. We are trying AR, we are trying voice commerce. Big problem of e-commerce is that advisory sync and that inspiration sync. And live shopping is one of the big trends we see from, it's arrived from Asia. We are doing a lot, investing a lot in that, trying a lot. We had a first live show yesterday directly from the IFA with Samsung from their pop-up showroom there. So that are innovation projects we are doing at the moment to improve the e-commerce experience for our customers. And maybe in future we are selling in the car because you don't have to drive. Maybe we push the play button again for the Auto Ready project, that your kitchen appliances are allowed to reorder replenishment products, accessories for their own. I think interesting use cases are in the pipeline and will grow.
Yeah, and it's super exciting to hear from me, because I'm working with big corporate and have worked in one of the biggest furniture retailers in the world. So I understand the I understand the perspective of having the online version of a showroom and like being able to do that at home. And can you pause a minute? I need to argue with my wife. having these opportunities, I think it's really, really cool. What I love, and following you already quite a bit since we connected last time, it's very good example that Otto is doing that you're thinking already ahead, because I work with a lot of retailers and other companies. I see it's not always the case. So not all companies are going all in and looking already beyond the horizons. I think that's important from a culture aspect of an organization, but it's also from, let's say, the leadership having that perspective that we need to bet on a couple of horses where we have no idea if that's going to work.
And that it's really hard work in Germany, because they are all afraid of future. They are all very good in controlling and they want to see business cases. But in innovation management, sometimes you have to bet. And I have really, really nice discussions with internal guys and my colleagues also. Like we want to have a business case. So I think, I can give you a business case. So what do you want to have as a target? What number should be under the line? say what? You have to calculate it. Yes, I can calculate. But it's starting with a vision and the question, if we trust in that innovation or not.
Yeah,
I can move that number in percentage and say what number you need to that we get can green light the project, and I will calculate like that. So the business case, it doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah, you have to talk about numbers, chances, risks, what you have to invest. But a really business case like you can have for normal projects, normal programs, new products, normal new products. Normally you can't get that for innovation products. It's innovation projects or innovative products. It's more like betting, like you said, and trying, starting with a small POC. Sometimes you had, like live shopping, you have a target in top to sell more. And then during your first shows, you recognize that it's a great format to go live with your partners, with brands.
Yeah.
And then you have more sales, then you have more offers, because if you are working with the partners on that show, you get really good offers for your customers, so you earn more. Then you get retail media budget to promote the shows on your platform and outside your platform. And yeah, it's now for live shopping, it's a different business case, because you have totally other earnings.
Yeah.
And if you then investing in things like software and things like that, then you have a lower cost also. So great. But if we would, like my colleague who started that, if you would be forced to calculate a business case to starting the project, I think we wouldn't be online with live shopping these days.
Yeah.
So because that was not clear at that point, it was a bet. We have seen that in Asia, so let's try it. We have seen that at the first German companies who tried. Let's try. Look for us how it works. So it's for every company, it's different. And then grow with that. Then we have other project. There was a vision, and it was more to starting a partnership. I don't know if they had business cases, but we started very huge, especially if you look on the public side, with a cooperation with the ECE, one of the biggest companies for shopping centers. It's also Family Otto, but it's a totally different company group. They are totally on the classical retail and brick and mortar side. And then with Otto on the e-commerce side, combining that competences, founding a company called Stock Square to get omnichannel connected commerce solutions for Otto and other partners of the ECE, bringing them to platforms like Otto and others, ship from store, reserve, in-store, things like that. That was a big investment. I think they will be forced to produce business cases and like that. But it also was a bet, and it was a commitment of two companies. We have seen a chance, especially for communications, that both family parts working together. Then we have seen it works for us. Then we were open for other companies, and now it's innovation for Otto also, but in business model and they are working for their own as a service provider for competitors also to bring them on platforms. And so you have different level of innovation. You always have to fight. The weapons are different.
I know what you talk about, and but I think what I like about that, and that's why I always talk about the leadership part as well. It's if the leadership, like you said, it's a family-owned company, and the different parts of the organizations, or let's of the family, I guess even, they agree to do things from a leadership perspective. Let's bet on this. Let's do this. Of course, with calculating the risk, I guess. But then taking the leap of faith to say, let's do this, let's try something, and really look into the future, how this can help us. And I think that's so important to have this leadership perspective where leaders are saying, let's do this and trust the team members to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I think leadership is a word I missed to explain it, how it can work. Yet business case one and leadership the other. So the commitment in these special story from two family members with different companies. That was a great story. That was but the leaders bet, the leaders trust that it works. Yeah. So it's leadership. And I think normally you and recognize stories or remember stories from my bakery career step also. If I think I was 11 months in that company, and I think I started more innovation projects for my own or was able to start than I think in 10 years at Otto, because there was a very innovative, sometimes crazy leader.
Yeah.
who fly to the US, say, scouting at Panera Bread and stores there, what there's new coming back, telling us, I want that in my stores next month. No business case. Do it right now, starting now. And I think especially in big corporates, sometimes we're missing that leadership. More and more controllers are in the driver's seat. The quarter numbers are more important than the long time investment sometimes. Yeah, there are so many stories where through missing leaderships, innovation was paused or never appeared at the public. Yeah. There are other stories like with Car2Go from Thatcher at Daimler.
Mm.
At one point he said, okay, let's do it. I think it works. We have to try. Let's start. Stop calculating, start doing. And yeah, I think we need more that innovative leaders that have missing other words, so I have to say, as leaders with balls.
That's okay.
And it's for women and men. Yeah. You have to have leaders that trust an innovation project and trust, yeah, want to try something and then do it. And I think especially that's a problem in Germany. We are always want to achieve 100% or 120%, and failing is a problem. And in innovation in a startup business, you have to try. You have to produce many proof of concepts to learn and to improve. And yeah, you will fail on that way, on that road, and that is okay. Failing shouldn't be the target, of course. Yeah. Sometimes people, I think they misunderstand that, but it's part of the innovation business, and that especially Germans have to think about and yeah put that in their minds and to get a really open and innovative mindset. I think.
Yeah, the challenge. I mean, I have the opportunity working with all different parts of the world, with all different continents. And while doing that, learning about how other cultures as well work with innovation topics. And even we could say, like, now I'm living in the Netherlands and it's 2 hours drive to my mom. So it's not too far away from where I grew up, but it's still quite different here already. And then in Spain, yeah, the same. US, of course, another level. If you talk about India and Asia, what's going on? I mean, India is huge from an innovation opportunity perspective. But I think it's also a little bit, if we talk about Germany, the success of the past is kind of limiting the organizations as well. So you have built out a huge brand. Yeah, exactly.
Like a bracket. And that's the problem. We are filled up with the success of the past. and you're seeing the problems that occur, especially in the car business, because in Germany that's always in the focus. But I'm looking not so happy in the future if I look at the economics of Germany, because especially based on that you told us before. And yeah, we are looking at China and all the innovative things, but if you looking at the main press, the main media in Germany, they focus on the political things, so yeah. And all the risk of AI and things like that, but that are the technology of the future. Yes, you can use that to spy, but you can use that for your oven also. And if a Chinese oven producer or a Korean Asian oven producer use that image recognition in the oven, he will have a better product than the German company. So that's a problem. We have to focus on the chances. And even if you're looking at something like image recognition and that you can use that on spyware, you have to look at China and say, oh, very interesting. You can use it to recognize bad politic enemies, but you can use that in a good way also.
Yeah.
Let's take that and build to our perfect Bosch oven and have image recognition for pizza. So, and that is something we have to change in our mind. And we have to see that digitalization, it's not a nice to have.
Yeah.
It will be the blood of the economics in future. And we are so far away of that in Germany, and we always see the risk, and we are all concentrating on the engineering of the heavy industry of the success of the past. The German, Mittelstand, I don't know, I think it's almost an international word, German Mittelstand, it's the KMU, so, but if they combine that heritage, the loving to and the passion of building that things with the new opportunities with IoT, with AI, with all that stuff, we would have a really good chance. Because to be honest, you have good connected intelligent products from, let's make it easy, from China, and they are intelligent, and they are from one side maybe better than the German product. But if I look at it, if I feel it, I want to have the German product from the design perspective, but with the intelligence of the Asia product. And there is a chance. But you have to invest it. You have to invest in it. You have to see that chance. You have to tackle it. And it doesn't work if the, all the software in a car, for example, is so good. Connection of your smartphone is so easy. It doesn't matter how funny it is to drive the car. If the benefit of the other things is so big, and there are new generations growing up, for them it's more important that it's easy to connect your smartphone to the car, and everything from the smartphone works in the car, then the, I don't know the English word, Spaltmaß, so the how it's a typical German car engineering word, so how great the car, the body of the car is manufactured. And I had my own story for that topic, and in German e-commerce conference talking with an e-commerce guy from a very huge German car producer, talking about evolution of the operating system of the car and how long does it take to bring innovative projects to the interface of the car. And at one time, as I said, it's too long, and please compare to Tesla, he switched the topic. putting the hand on the car, but look how beautiful it is and compare it to Tesla. And yeah, but it doesn't matter if I can't connect my iPhone to the car. It's not beautiful from that perspective.
Yeah.
And it was, for me, that was a moment of, I had German angst. I was afraid, but on a totally different level, because I recognized if also the innovative e-commerce guys from a big car manufacturer, at one point they come with a great body, the great manufacturing. I said, oh God, oh my God, we are lost. We are lost. They have to change. They have to focus on the software. Building still that great cars, I love to driving my German car. It's very expensive. I love it from the whole driving experience, but the Korean car, the connection with the iPhone is faster, and that's crazy. Yeah, there are a lot of improvements, and I didn't less. Didn't lost the whole chance blick for the German car manufacturers, but you can see how long they have slept.
Yeah, I think that's something where, going back to leadership, which is possible to challenge in the future. Getting us into the last part, because we have passed already the hour mark, where I ask a couple of questions more in a rapid fire, but not so rapid fire. Style, which I'm asking every guest. So if you could work with a project that is impacting every human being on Earth, what project would you like to work with and why? Very small question, I know.
I think I have to answer the problem with the climate change and energy saving, especially in these days with all the political discussions, showing the people that a sustainability and changing that is not always pain in the ass and higher cost and rules. Germans are very, very great, especially German green politicians in setting up rules. That is forbidden, that is forbidden, that is forbidden. Using new technology, using new way to tackle that. And innovation should be the key, not rules and not higher costs and things like that. There is a chance, but yeah, to tackle that from zero to run that would be a project I would love to set up, but I know that's unbelievable.
Next question. What would you give an advice to a young innovator that's just getting started?
Focus on the customer and start talking to possible or real customers from the scratch and through the whole innovation cycle, because that are the users, the customers should want to have and use your product. And if not, yeah, you get a problem. Sometimes I'm with Steve Jobs, so sometimes customers doesn't know what they want to have, but they have problems, and you have to understand the problems of the users or customers to fix that, and then they will use the product. If you can explain them in an easy way, how that product solves the problem.
What is an innovative topic you are interested in exploring more over the next coming years?
Live shopping, we are focused at the moment, and I want to learn more and how does it work, and if that is in Asia, it's already present of e-commerce, and I want to learn if we can get on that or a nearby level in Europe and especially in Germany also.
Last question. Where can people find you and how can people connect to you?
Guess what? LinkedIn. I love that network, using it a lot, especially to explain what I am doing. You see, even these days, you see a lot of postings about EFO. I talking about my trend scouting very open and how it affects Otto, and about projects we do, finding new partnerships, talking with other experts about the trends, how they would bet on them. To learn more. So use LinkedIn, both sides, to produce content, to consume content, and to talking with my peers about that.
Yeah. Awesome. And of course, I will put your link into the show notes. I can highly recommend every listener or people who are watching this on YouTube or anywhere else to connect to Jörg and at least follow him, because he is doing a lot of inspirational topics. Jörg, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure and real fun to talking to you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. You will find the links and resources in the show notes of this episode. If you would like to support the podcast, the most impactful thing you can do is subscribing to the show on any of the podcasting platforms and give me a review. This will help me to reach more innovators around the world and bring some of you into the show. If you have any question to the guest or want to engage with me, feel free to reach out to me on social media and contact me there.